Hello and welcome to Healing From Within. I am your host, Cheryl Glick, author of The Living Spirit, which shares a look at universal energy, healing, spiritual communication, and offers some suggestions for your awakening process and for realizing your true human and divine potential. Today I am most delighted and honored to welcome Dr. Richard House, author of Between Now and When, who shares his remarkable mystical adventures from childhood, his addiction as an adult, a near-death experience in his 30s, where he discovered a world of unseen dimensions that propelled him on a pilgrimage around the world. Hello, Dr. House. Thank you for joining
me. Hello.
Welcome.
Well, I'm glad to be here. Rich, thank you so much.
You're welcome. Richard, as listeners of Healing From Within are aware, my guests and I search for a truth beyond the belief systems and structures of modern-day society, and to learn to use intuition and our inner essence to recognize that as more than physical beings, we possess the will and heart-based wisdom of the universe, which can allow us to attain health, prosperity, and happiness as we discover through self-investigation and self-mastery of our emotions the beauty of life and ways to reach our full human potential. In today's episode of Healing From Within, we will travel with Dr. House on a tour of the world of the unseen and seen, and the wonders he encountered as his expanding consciousness revealed the metaphysical foundation of the visible world and the interdimensional matrix that gives rationality to earthly life. We will discuss human suffering and why it is an important element of life on Earth. Dr. House has been practicing medicine for more than 40 years, first as an otolaryngologist and then for the past 10 years as a medical acupuncturist utilizing the chakras for energetic healing. Richard, I often ask my guests to think back to childhood and remember an incident or experience that may have shown their values, instincts, interests, goals for their future development, as often our life plan or destiny presents itself very early on. So think back for a minute.
Well, that one's easy.
Okay.
Yeah, when here's the way it all started for me, Cheryl. I was 7 years old, and as you say, oftentimes we do have a special experience in childhood. In my case, I was standing underneath this huge cypress tree that my grandfather had planted, and all of a sudden, I experienced the oneness of everything that is. It was a remarkable feeling of being connected or actually being the substance of everything. So here I am, a seven-year-old kid, and I'm experiencing myself as this vast oneness. It was absolutely remarkable. I remember it just as clearly today as when it happened. But of course, as a seven-year-old child, I really didn't know what to do with that.
Well, what you were experiencing was your soul essence, your true identity, and I think you called yourself Itchin, and that
exactly.
was your soul self. And you also wrote that years later you were sitting in an attic room and drawing a picture of Fluffy, your house cat. You noticed an image of chain and cross in the picture, and that you had not intended to draw, and you heard a voice message come into your head. And what was that message?
Well, it was a very alarming message, I'll have to tell you that. Mm. As you say, I was drawing this picture, and all of a sudden, I had this sort of message in my mind, and the message was this: you will die when you are 33 years old.
Yeah, that's scary for a kid. And I hope you put it out of your mind and didn't think about it too much after that. Were you able to do that?
Yeah, you know what happened? I knew that this message had to be from outside of myself, and I presumed it was from God.
Yes.
And somehow or other, that made it okay.
Right.
If you know what I mean. This message did not come with a heart-pounding, oh my God, what am I going to do? It was more like, oh, well, if you say so, it must be true.
All right, so you were able to accept it, allow and surrender to it, and not be too afraid of it, because you had an idea of a bigger picture, and perhaps even a view of the afterlife. Even at that young age, you were still connected to that soul energy.
Exactly. And so what I did is just as you say, I picked up my skateboard and I just continued being a kid and growing up in Southern California and tried to push that image away as best I could, although I still wasn't frightened by it, but it just I just had to live life and go and get on with stuff.
As a Reiki practitioner and teacher and intuitive medium, I often tell people that on any given day, 50% of the information coming into us is negative and fearful, and we are to not engage it and to go about our life finding joy and positive action and to engage what would be more beneficial for us. So if a child came to me or an adult and gave me information like that, I would probably encourage them to start thinking that every morning when they wake up, they should have a wonderful journey and have a day of experience and excitement and goodness and just focus more on that and put that into the world and into their daily experiences. So you were able to do that, and I can hear in your voice you were able to do that. Now let's go on to your internship at LA County Hospital and how it fueled your desires to learn more about the human condition, perhaps suffering, and how did you become involved in the clutches of addiction?
Oh, well, actually, the addiction part started a bit earlier. I was a good student, and so I was admitted to Butler University in Indianapolis after high school. And I discovered two things at Butler. Number one was how to drink, and number two was romantic love. And let me tell you, those two things were far more interesting than English 101.
It reminds me of my son's experiences. I think all young people go through that time. They're so glad to be on their own, to experience life, that sometimes they might overdo some of the things. They think they're invincible, and actually the human brain doesn't fully develop until about 25. So in a way, they really do think they're invincible. Yeah. But you wrote, all medical students experience an initiation into the grossness of human anatomy. The experience needs to be unpleasant as one's own comfort zone is sacrificed to higher purpose. And this is an apt summary of what transpires throughout the course of 4 years of expansion of self in medical school. But it's also a good description of what happens in the expansion of each individual as they seek a spiritual awakening. So I like that very much that you wrote this. So
that's true, yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, as the journey of the soul, we hope to remember our divine origin and attune to that higher vibration of love. And I remember when I chose to do hospice volunteer work, and I found the smells of death and illness and sadness of the family so challenging. But I maintained my aura of goodwill, acceptance, allowing the process, and ultimately knowing, since consciousness survives physical death, and we do have a life plan, nothing is bad, only an experience to remember our true essence. So let's go on to tell us what your book Between Now and When is about.
Okay, sure. The title actually speaks to the contents of the journey itself. The now part is sort of the way that we are, most of us, as we interact with daily life on Earth. And in my case, the now means practicing medicine still. I'm still working. And I live on a farm, and I take care of animals and do organic farming and all that kind of thing. So that would be sort of the now that the title refers to. But the when part is what happened to me as my journey led me to higher dimensions. And so those higher dimensions are what I call when. Now, I want to throw this in right at the very beginning, and we can certainly expand on that later if you like. But the when also speaks to the fact that we are sort of in between right now, in between ages, in between states of consciousness, all of humanity. And so the when also means that there is a time in the future when everyone will experience what I did individually, where we come to see these hidden dimensions and to experience them directly and to experience the divine in our daily life instead of what we what we do now, which is for most people pretty distant from
yes,
the divine.
Yes, what many people do now is live in a state of mindlessness and denial. And what you're saying is happening. We are in the midst of a spiritual revolution or evolution, as you say, and many of us are having experiences similar to what you have. Not exactly the same, but knowing that there is more to us than meets the eye and that we can be free of some of the physical restrictions and limitations of the physical world to soar with this other energy that can bring us so much joy and awareness, self-awareness, and guide our lives. Now, let's go back to your near-death experience at 33 years old. So that voice told you as a child that it was going to happen, and you must have forgotten about it for a while.
That's the advantage of partnering with Jack Daniels. He makes you forget a lot of things.
All right, but what really happened at 33 years old that led you to travel around the world, leave the practice of medicine for a time, and your family to make a change in your family life? What happened?
Yes, what happened is that as I developed my practice and got married and had a big old house and all that kind of thing, as doctors do, I was drinking more and more and more. And eventually it got to the point where I became very ill, very sick from drinking so much alcohol. And at one point I found myself so sick that I was admitted to a hospital across the town from where I worked. And was so sick that they put me right in the ICU. And you'll get a kick out of this. After they got the lab reports back, the doctor, who's a friend of mine, came in and he said, "Let me ask you this, Richard." He said, "Do you drink?"
Well, I guess he should have known without that question.
Well, yeah, a little bit here and there, you know. Well, he said to me, "Well, I'm sorry, but your liver is completely ruined. You have cirrhosis of the liver and bleeding esophageal varices." Now, for any doctors who may be listening, that basically is a death sentence. The bleeding esophageal veins in the, cannot be easily stopped, and the liver was so far gone. That basically what he said was, "There's no hope, my friend." He had given me 18 transfusions, and he said, "Listen, I don't see any point in pumping this blood in when it just comes right out again, and with your permission, I'm going to turn it off, and you should say your goodbyes, and within a short period of time, you will pass to the other side."
That was a nice way of saying, at least he had a feeling that there might be another side and something existing.
Maybe I give him more credit than he do. I don't remember exactly what he said, but
that would have been that would have been nice, actually, to hear. Many of the doctors do not want to talk about that part of the dying process. But let's, so how did you survive? What happened next?
Well, what happened then, Cheryl, was very interesting. They stopped the blood, and I said my goodbyes, and at about 2 or 3 in the morning, I felt this incredible sensation of comfort. And it was the very first time that in my life that I felt that. It was so wonderful that I no longer was concerned about this other thing that was happening, that is, dying. But as this comfort grew, it became even more remarkable than that. It became this blissful feeling, this feeling of enormous love, and I was back into that same state that I had experienced when I was 7 years old. And then what happened was I started drifting away from that very sick body of mine, and I could look back on it and see my yellow self with all the tubes and all, and yet I was flying, and I felt like truly I was being embraced by God. That's the way it felt.
And you were. And I guess at that moment you realized your soul and spirit realized you had more work to do. And they returned you and healed your body.
Well, actually, what happened was, that's exactly what happened. But I heard another voice, and this voice I knew also was coming from God, and he said very simply, "You will heal and work for me."
Yeah.
And if I could have saluted, I think I would have, and said, "Yes, sir." It was that simple. I, even though the dying process was so wonderfully pleasant, in fact, I want to stop just a minute and tell this. This is an important part for people to understand. That every death is that way at a certain point. It's always blissful. It's always filled with this sense of love and of being embraced by God, no matter how awful the circumstances of that death might have been. At some magical point, as we make the transition to the other side, this bliss kicks in. And so, you know, in my practice of medicine, when I see people that are approaching that stage, I tell them that. And I say, you know, I'm going to tell you something that is so wonderful to know, and that is that dying is perfectly safe.
Well, I agree with you. I did hospice volunteer work for 8 years, and I helped people to discover that they could resonate in a state of peace, the families and the person. I, through Reiki energy healing, I could establish for them a state of that peacefulness or bliss. And I believe consciousness survives physical death, as do you. And so many other people now are becoming aware of it. I also interviewed an author, Anita Morjani, who had cancer, also had a near-death experience, and wrote a book, Dying to Be Me. And she was also in the afterlife and was given an opportunity to come back and share her story because she spoke 5 languages and she was young, and she chose to do exactly that, the work of spirit here in a physical life. So I want to say, I think it's fair to say that we are, as souls, we've had many life experiences, and we're brought to this life to refine certain aspects of our thinking and our relationships so we can get to that higher level of joy and happiness and bliss that you experienced. Some people don't have to have a near-death experience. They can find it in another way. And in my book, The Living Spirit, I wrote, we all can walk in the world of spirit and at the same time have a foot touching the ground of this world. This can be done by recognizing the gifts and blessings of life itself and your life in particular. All great masters, Saint Francis of Assisi, Jesus, Moses, the Buddha, and others have learned to quiet the drives and cravings of the physical body long enough to free the mind. In doing so, they were able to awaken to inner peace and to the messages being given to them from spirit. And through this connection, they learned how to improve the quality of their daily lives, as well as engage others with empathy, love, compassion, and kindness. Richard, this is perhaps how we may, as wounded citizens of the cosmos or souls of the cosmos, find our way forward, as you did in a most challenging situation, right?
Well, I think you're right, and it's not just me, as you say. You know, so many people are experiencing this now. And when we do work with our feet on the ground and with our minds and hearts on higher levels, it brings magic to this level. And that's what I wanted to mention to you after that experience. Okay, what now? You know, when you come back, first of all, I walked out of that hospital just a few days later and my body was completely healed. And of course, that's a totally impossible situation, and the doctors really didn't know what to do with it.
Well, according to Western medicine, which focuses on illness and symptoms, surgery and medication, not for prevention and healing and wellness, yeah, it was very hard for them to get. But Richard, what were some of the places you went after this experience? And you had a man who you discovered was the captain. Who was the captain for you, who was working with you?
Okay, my captain was Meher Baba, a Indian spiritual master who I had not known anything about, but as time went on, it became quite clear that he was helping me get from one spot to another. And that's what sort of made my story and journey coherent. And each place that I visited, you know, I started off in Hawaii. But let me get back and I'll tell you how I got there real briefly. After I survived all that and left the hospital, I started seeing the magic that's behind our current experience of daily life. In other words, the first time it happened, I was looking down at the floor tiles in my den, of all things, and these floor tiles became luminescent with this incredible beauty. And my logical doctor's mind said, how can that be? How can I see floor tiles that jump out at me? And that was my first introduction to a higher dimension. And the point I want to make is that I started seeing those things more and more and more. And so I knew that there is a underlying reality that is underneath what we see each day that is truly a beautiful land. And about that time, it came to me quite clearly through a series of sort of mystical experiences that I should give up my practice and start traveling the world.
And you did.
And I did. Yeah.
Yeah.
I went to Hawaii, and started instead of being a tourist and lying on the beach, which is what I would have liked to have done before all this, but what I did is I entered a state of meditation inside my little condo behind closed drapes, and I sat in a chair for 6 months.
All right. You were recovering, and you were redirecting your energies and your life, and you wanted to serve and do the most with what you were now becoming aware of. Let me ask you a question. Are you a Christian, and has meditation worked in your own personal development?
During one of my early meditations, I actually had a vision of Jesus standing on this little hill with a brilliant white robe. And he was so beautiful. It was a wonderful, wonderful vision. And I knew from that point on that Jesus was precisely who he said he was. And so I say that he is the Son of God or an avatar of God. And I've never doubted that since. However, I'm not a church-going Christian that goes to church on Sundays and so on. For me, at least, it isn't necessary, but no, I certainly encourage
people. You are just living the life of service and joy and beauty, working with the animals on the farm. You're like the Vitruvian man. You're doing and exploring everything that we are here on this earth to do, and that's a beautiful experience. And I love the way that you said you sensed his love and his majesty, and it wasn't really the connection to Jesus and Christian thought that you experienced at that time. It was the sense that there were new frontiers waiting to be discovered beyond what Jesus brought to earth. We're evolving and experiencing more and more and emanating this love that he had and all spiritual beings or avatars or masters have had. And you recognize the beauty of it, and I think it's a great gift to have an experience like that and to hold it in your heart forever. Now, you appear to be rather healthy since those early days when you almost died from alcohol. So what is your secret for our listening audience?
Well, the secret, I think, is actually not diet, not exercise, not any of those things, but it's what you do every day. If you're living out of your higher self, and you're doing the best you can with your circumstances, which, and you know, many of us have very lousy circumstances.
Yes, yes.
But if you're doing the best with what you got, then that's the major first step. Now, in terms of what I have found works for me, I do a meditation every morning as soon as I take a shower, and do one in the evening too, and I get up very early at 3:30 in order to do that, and go to bed early as a result. So that works for me. I do some yoga and go to the gym a couple days a week, and I'll walk every day at least a mile, and I'm vegetarian. So those are the things that work for me. That doesn't mean it works for everyone or that everyone should follow that program. But I do think that
I think what you found is a state of happiness and peace and well-being and a joy in life, gratitude for life.
That's more important than exercise. Yeah,
I think your soul, your inner soul, has refined itself and matured, so you're in balance with the physical world and the spiritual world. That's what I hear in your voice and your laughter, and it's so beautiful. I want to thank you, Dr. Richard House, author of Between Now and When, for your open-minded and open-hearted rendition of a truly passionate journey of healing and gathering of the emotional resources, allowing yourself to have one foot in the physical realm and one in the dimension of beauty and expanding possibilities in the unseen. For more information on this true life story of awakening, please go to Richard House, MD. In summarizing Richard's story of his beginning awareness at 7 years old, that a power or energy surrounded him with wisdom and protection, and through his studies to become a doctor and a man to serve humanity, and his near-death experience at 33 years old, and later on recovering from a condition that was deemed terminal, he began a life free of worry and compromise to find happiness through meditation, healing, and the knowledge that we are more than we appear to be. And life with all its challenges is a gift to be valued and experienced. Richard wrote this in regard to his near-death experience. From high up, I looked down at myself, somehow all puffed up and soggy, with ascites, fluid in the belly that shouldn't be there, yellow. My God, I am yellow, but not at all sad. No tears, no sir. In fact, I feel light and blissful with thoughts that are like birds in flight, gliding here and there in graceful swoops and turns. I love this. I'm flying at last. How warm and beautiful I am. This itchin, the soul of my boyhood remembrances. This is me, full of grace and full of bliss. Fullness is my wonderful state, and then words form in my mind. You will heal and work for Isa. Oh, yes, I know this after all, and always have known. I am bathed in bliss. I am love with wings. Richard and I would have you discover the essence and beauty of your own being and find the way past fear and limitation to explore the beauty of this world, yourself, and others, and know that the beautiful place in dreams where love and life are eternal may in fact be the reality, and this physical world a stepping stone to find the path that leads there. I am Cheryl Glick, host of Healing From Within, and I invite you to visit my website, CherylGlick.com, to explore the world of energy, life, and listen to world leaders express views for empowering your own personal development and awakening to your greatest potential. Shows may also be heard on WebTalkRadio.net and DreamVisions7Radio.com. Thank you.